been distracted long enough. It's time to make a podcast, Max. Put on your podcast pants.
Oh, buddy, I'm wearing them. I never don't.
Spoiler, podcast pants are no pants. We just don't wear pants.
I'm good.
Cool.
Welcome.
Fuck. Ah! What was that? What did you do?
I stepped on your toes.
You stepped on my mouth.
I planned on that.
You
I planned
stepped on
that.
My mouth.
I planned on doing that.
Man, I ruined the entire podcast. Podcast canceled. Just kidding. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. How you doing, Max?
Are you doing pretty good?
Yeah, how's it feel?
Does it feel good?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, look, you peaked the mic, too. No, you didn't. Never mind. I take it back. Well, Superman does good, so I'm doing well. Dorian, thank you for asking.
Oh. Did you just grammatically correct me? Librarian.
It is the funniest thing in the world to me. It happens very rarely. But when someone's like, hey, this pizza tastes good, and you have an opportunity to be like, Superman tastes good, the pizza tastes well. I think that's very funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm going to do it more. Hammer it into the ground. Yeah, I got some new shoes.
Yeah, they look good. New Adidas.
They do. Got new kicks. You got some new shorts.
Yes, I
which
did.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to wear those, like, casually, or when you're not fighting?
Yeah. Full context for the listener. At the particular kickboxing gym that I go to, not a lot of Muay Thai gyms do this. Actually, I think we're the only one that I know of that actually does this. But similar to karate schools that have belts, or, you know, jiu-jitsu schools that have belts, ranging from white belt to black belt, we have shorts. And last weekend I tested for my level one shorts, which basically meant me hitting pads for 12 minutes and not being able to breathe. It was actually a really good time.
Yeah.
But I got these kick-ass new shorts, official Short North Muay Thai shorts that are, they're beautiful. I thought about wearing them today, but it's literally snowing again. So no dice.
Yeah. I'm really bummed about that.
Yeah. Sorry about it.
There's a Euro truck that I go to. I tweeted about it.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's in a Pakistani mosque parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as good as the one that's at the African mosque, because there's also one at the African mosque. So you got to say the Pakistani mosque.
Okay.
I went yesterday for lunch at work. And I just stood outside the truck for like 15 minutes. And it was very, very cold and very windy. And it wasn't fun.
It was worth it, though?
Oh, so worth it. Yeah.
It's good so Euros? Good.
I got the biryani, so it's like cardamom seasoned rice with like lettuce and onions and this really good like lean Euro meat.
Cardamom?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's like super nutty.
Ooh, you are
when
fancy.
When it's cooked right, yeah. Oh, man. For $6, it's incredible.
Hell yeah.
I give the guy 10 when I get that.
Wow, you big tipper. Big spender.
It's like two meals. And then every time I go and I don't get that, he goes, for you, $3.
Wow. Thanks, man. Man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Max McKenna. I got new shoes, and I spend way too much tipping Euro dudes.
I have credit with the Euro guy.
That's a good place to be in, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling good about the new shoes, which is going to be the segue, and your new shorts, and that's appropriate. Because we're talking about the new spring fashions.
Oh, yeah?
This episode.
Are we a fashion podcast now?
We are now. death fashion.
Oh?
Straight up, yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what to say here, because I don't feel like there's been an episode that I am, like, less knowledgeable about since we did trains than to do, like, a fashion episode.
Well, you're a fashionable guy.
I have two pairs of jeans, and they're both black, so I don't have to color coordinate.
Yeah, but black is fashionable.
It's true. Thank you.
Haha.
And you wear black at a funeral.
Ooh, is that why you only buy black jeans?
So I can always be ready to just, like, jump into funerals anytime I want. No, I just don't want to have to match colors, even though my parents owned a quilt shop and are very good at color.
Huh.
But, I don't know. So yeah, let's kick this spring fashion week off right.
Woo!
And get these brain juices a-flowing with the pre-Dead Boys cracking of the topic moment. This week brought to you by Waterloo Strawberry.
Strawberry! That's pretty good.
Waterloo!
We can't sing Waterloo anymore because ABBA's lawyers...
ABBA got mad?
They came after us like they did Mabim Bam. And now we can't sing Waterloo. Take a chance.
Ooh, I gotta take this hoodie off too. I'm getting all... Because every time I move my laptop, it's just like the...
Yeah. I was just thinking I'm going to get kind of toasty, so I'm going
to leave this in the episode.
Yep. So if you're listening, make sure you take off your top layer. Not the whole thing, though. We don't want to be indecent.
Fashion, man. Fashion and death may seem like a weird intersection, you know? But you got to wear something in that coffin.
No, I don't.
You just want to be, like, naked the whole afterlife?
Yeah. Open cat, like... Fully open casket funeral. You have to view the entire body.
Like, look upon my works, ye mighty, and weep.
Despair.
So most people that aren't dirty boys like Dorian will wear something in a coffin. But I was kind of like, I wonder why people dress really well in coffins, though. It seems weird, you know? So I was kind of poking around, and I found a historian's summary of European burial customs. I think this is a good way to kind of intro this and shed some light on what we're going to be talking about.
In the 4th century, when Christianity was just starting to spread throughout Europe, people in Western Europe were often buried clothed, but with few things besides their clothes in their graves. Even though clothing was expensive and time-consuming to make, it was a sign of respect for the deceased. Bodies were also buried fully clothed by Christian sects who believed in a full body resurrection in order to ensure the deceased was not naked after resurrecting.
Hey, Dorian. Dorian, Jesus came back.
What?
And we're all walking around again. This is great.
Oh.
I got my body back. Come on, hang out. Come on, man. I'm knocking on your coffin. Come on, man.
Can you give me like 5 minutes and some clothes?
Yeah, I was like, what are 5 minutes gonna do for you in there?
Got to tear out the lining of the coffin and make a diaper.
Just wrap it around. And you're like, oh, cool. Thanks for coming back, man. I really like this. My same old body.
Yeah.
It really is infallible logic, though. Like, if you do believe in a full body, just like out of the grave resurrection, you don't want him to be like... embarrassed.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
What if I want to be naked? You can't stop me, Max.
Just throw it back to Eden, where everyone's just unashamed.
That's right.
So, that's kind of where the custom of dressing people came from, was that belief, that particular belief. But, as the Catholic Church began to take on more power, they also began to take a little more influence over funeral customs.
The manner of caring for the body began to change. People began to be buried in simple white garments that imitated the clothing worn by holy monastics. The trend to bury the dead in simple white garments, or baptism clothes, developed into a simple shrouded burial, in which the dead body was wrapped in a white sheet, which again stressed purity of the deceased. It also reflected other social changes not connected with burial practice. The weapons and jewelry which had been placed in graves were now being disposed of through different rituals, new inheritance laws, and new taxation systems through which much of this wealth went to the local church, rather than remaining with the family of the deceased or in the grave.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, a lot of your loved one's clothing or jewelry or weapons were more likely to be repossessed by the church after you died.
Not the weapons.
Not the weapons.
That's a little greedy, though. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it makes sense, but it's also unfortunate because a lot of clothing at this time was very expensive, too. The church, which was primarily in the business at the time of fighting the Crusades, needed a lot of money. So they would take people's old clothing and take people's weapons and then sell them and use that money to kind of fund the war effort.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when you get buried with a coffin sheet, though, that coffin sheet doesn't really stick around in the coffin for that long. Because if you think about all those old mummies from all the burial rituals that I've made you look at over the past year, you don't really see them dressed in clothes very often. That's because a lot of older caskets were not sealed. So a lot of bacteria would get in, moisture would get in, and things would just kind of eat right through old cotton clothes, which is what they had back then, you know? So since a lot of the stuff we look at is so old, many natural fibers decompose at the same rate as the human body does. So that's why there's not, like, that sarcophagus juice stuff.
Ugh.
There's not just, like, clothes floating around in that.
Yeah.
That'd be gross. But now, with, like, modern coffins that have, like, the force flex technology and all that stuff.
Moisture wicking.
Yeah, John Cena's really into it. You know, if you go open up a coffin now that's been sealed, there's a pretty good chance you're going to find some clothes in there.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, check this out.
The decomposition of clothes in coffins depends on what the clothes are made out of. Completely organic cotton decomposes about as fast as dead leaves, since both are mostly cellulose. However, in the West, funeral directors tend to dress in artificial fabrics like polyesters. These are actually a form of plastic, and plastic does not decompose any faster than the crude oil it was originally made from. A big chunk of decomposition is carried out by microorganisms, insects, worms, and other organisms, collectively referred to as decomposers. Most decomposers don't feed on synthetics, so they have to break down by chemical processes. If you open a coffin, the clothing is usually in pretty good shape, while the body is pretty decomposed, due to a pretty dry and anaerobic environment in the coffin.
Do you have any job interviews coming up?
No, I think I'm happy where I'm at for the time being.
Cool. This is cool. So I was going to say, if you do,
yeah,
and you can't find your nice new jacket, you can just go pop open a coffin and see if you can wriggle one out of there.
Now, it is the official legal stance of the Pre-Dead Boys that we do not recommend or advise you to disturb anyone's casket, anyone's grave, under any circumstances. That being said, if you did, you know, break the law, which you shouldn't do.
No.
You might find some kick-ass new clothes.
Yeah, I mean, you would find them. You'd probably have to do a little work on them, though.
A little scrubbing.
Yeah. And, you know, probably some other stuff. A little bit of sewing, too. You know why?
What's that?
Everyone knows that the clothes are going to have a little rot on them.
Your clothes are going to rot.
Your clothes are going to rot. The human body is going to have some, like, embalming fluids leak out. It's going to have some of just the leftover goop that gets stuck in you. That's going to soak into the clothes. You'll be able to dry clean all that out. That'll be fine. But most of the clothes you find on a body in a coffin will also have a just massive slash running down the back of the body. You know why that is?
Ooh, they do that as part of the embalming process, right? Or is it, or the autopsy? Or something.
Wait, no.
They're cutting bodies, right? Are you talking about a slash in the back of the clothes?
I'm talking about the back of the clothes.
Oh,
I was like, do you think you get autopsied in the clothes you wear?
I don't know, dude.
No, yeah, in the back of the clothes.
Okay.
So, like, if you pulled, if I died and was buried in a jacket, that jacket right there.
Yeah, that's a good looking jacket.
It's a nice jacket.
We're recording in the wardrobe room of the Pre-Dead Boys castle.
I got this nice little, like, rolling clothing rack.
It's made out of ivory and gold.
No, I don't like it. No ivory.
It's a castle.
Faux ivory. But if I was buried in that jacket, okay?
Yeah.
And you popped open my coffin, the jacket would be cut down the back because, and you know, the
samurai.
Samurais. Ghost samurais.
I knew it.
So the cut doesn't always happen. And I want to preface it by saying this. The cut doesn't always happen. But have you ever had to put like a onesie on a baby?
I personally have not, but I understand the theory of putting a onesie on a baby.
Yeah, it's terrible. Because babies are like wriggly and they get all heavy, and like if you ever have to see like a baby have clothes put on and the baby doesn't want to have clothes put on, or like a toddler, I guess. I don't know why it has to be a baby. But like a toddler who doesn't want to have clothes on have to put a shirt on, it looks terrible. So imagine having to put that shirt on like a toddler, but instead of like a flexible cotton material, it's like a pressed pair of khakis. And instead of like a toddler or baby, it's a 175-pound clammy toddler. Just big, clammy toddler body. Really, that's what all people are, is just grown-up toddlers.
Big, big, clammy toddlers.
Yeah, but like trying to shove like just a big pair of like clammy legs in a pair of khakis.
Ugh.
That sounds terrible. Yeah. That's no fun. So here's an account from a funeral anonymous funeral director and embalmer about, you know, what they kind of have to do to get bodies in clothes sometimes.
Dressing a corpse is similar to dressing an infant. The body is uncooperative. If the body had been embalmed, it will be on the rigid end of the spectrum. This can make dressing it difficult, especially if the clothes are tight-fitting, like denim pants. An unembalmed body tends to be on the floppy end of the spectrum. And generally, they will be cold due to being in refrigeration, which can cause their skin to be clammy. So all of their clothing tends to stick to their skin. This is why you hear stories about funeral home workers cutting the clothes of the deceased, so as to make everything more presentable. We try not to cut clothes, but sometimes there is no other way. If the person has been sick for a while, they may have lost or gained a lot of weight, and their old clothes may not fit anymore, especially with the struggle of having to dress the deceased.
Yeah, so instead of wrestling to get a body in like a jacket, I guess jacket might not be the best thing. Instead of wrestling to get a body in a shirt, they might just cut it down the back, put the arms through the front, kind of like an art smock, right, and then tuck the cut halves under the body.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, and it looks well-fitted because you can tuck.
Yeah, you look lean, you look svelte.
Yeah, sexy dead body.
And then, no. We've also categorically disavowed that on this
episode. Legally and officially, don't fuck a dead person, please.
So, dressing dead people doesn't sound like the best sounding job in the world. You know, just having to like take a body and cram it into a pair of skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. Especially as all these damn millennials keep dying. But burying the dead in jeans is becoming more and more common. Because the goal of any good funeral director is to make the person look like how they looked in life, you know? Personally, I don't want a viewing. But if I did, I wouldn't want to be wearing like a big frumpy suit, you know?
Right.
Doesn't really feel me.
You want to be buried in your shirt that you're wearing today, which says X-Files, and yeah. I Want to Believe, in like a hardcore band font.
Yeah.
Or a black metal t-shirt.
It's also tiny, so it'd be kind of fun to like shove me into.
Squeezing your bloated corpse into
it. Yeah, because I'm going to be bloated. I'm not going out not bloated.
No way.
I avoid too much salt and coffee living to not have it on my way out.
Yeah, my corpse is going to be dummy thick.
You tweeted that today and I didn't know what it
you meant haven't or what you it's haven't from. Heard dummy thick?
No.
This is definitely just gonna date
like a crash test dummy?
No. This is definitely just gonna date this episode because I'm sure nobody's gonna say dummy thick after 2019. But it just means really, really thick. Like real big old juicy bod. Dummy thick.
It's very good. I'm gonna start saying that.
That's so fun.
But you know, with big old juicy bods.
Say it.
Dummy thick. with dummy thick bodies. God. It brings up an interesting question of if you're shoving a dummy thick body in a big frumpy suit,
uh-huh,
do you also have to shove a dummy thick body in underwear?
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh.
That does mean that the person dressing the deceased also has to put a pair of underwear on a dead body.
Yep.
So if you're a family member who has to arrange a funeral, you are typically asked to provide a pair of underwear from the loved one, which has got to be like the most uncomfortable part of the funeral process, is like having to go through your grandpa's like underwear drawer,
man,
and be like, he looks like he liked this pair.
Man, shout out to all of the funeral workers who listen to this podcast, because I imagine asking for that sort of thing is not fun either. Lord. Man, y'all do great work.
Yeah.
God bless all of you.
Now, a lot of, from what I read, a lot of funeral homes will also keep a couple spare pairs off to the side, you know,
mm-hmm,
in case a pair of underwear can't be provided or if the family just forgets, you know.
Hmm.
But I can't really imagine my body having to lay in a coffin forever in like a pair of itchy, bunchy store brand underwear.
Mm-mm.
That's why we've partnered with MeUndies. Do you want a pair of underwear so comfortable you'd be happy to wear them forever? MeUndies are made of soft, micromodal fabric that won't be eaten by decomposers or stained by corpse rot. Visit MeUndies.com and enter coupon code. You have a good coupon? I don't know. Coupon code.
Oh, we didn't come up with a coupon code for this bit.
Enter coupon code dead
balls. Dead balls.
Two words or one word?
All one word. Dead balls.
Enter coupon code dead balls to get a free pair today. Just for being a pre-Dead Boys listener. That's MeUndies.com, coupon code dead balls.
I think amongst all of the other legal things that we have to say,
big sponsors.
We are not actually sponsored by MeUndies. Hey, but Max, you want to see something?
You wearing?
You bet your ass.
Wearing a pair right now? Nice.
Woo!
Nice.
I feel that micromodal fabric, and let me tell you, they are legit.
Oh, it's nice because now you can wear it in a grave forever.
Yep.
Stupid.
Man, MeUndies is just like, they're throwing money away not sponsoring this podcast. Do you know how many people we probably just
how many corpses buying? We can dress?
You know how many people are listening to this right now and just thinking, man, the way that Max and Dorian are talking about putting underwear on dead people really makes me want to buy a pair of MeUndies.
We're going into like underwear chat right now, but you know how you have like, I'm low on laundry, and you know how you have that point where you have like a couple that you keep for the end of the laundry rotation where it's like, these are good, you know, and then you have a couple where it's like, just got to make it through this pair, you know. You don't want to be buried in a just got to make it through this pair. Now pair of underwear, you know?
You want a fresh pack.
Top of line stuff.
You know what's funny? I swear to God, this is not sponsored content. The first time I bought MeUndies, I bought a 3-pack, uh-huh, like fun patterns, and I loved them so much that I wanted to get more. And so I just got the economy pack of like 24 pairs.
Good
and
God.
So I legit can't remember the last time I was in that position of, oh man, I got to make it through this pair, because I've had so much underwear.
It's like $150.
It was a steep initial investment. But it was just like, I know that I'm gonna love this and I'm not gonna have to buy underwear for like forever. Ever. Now
yeah,
I'll buy underwear eventually, but I also get. Just side note, and I'll probably edit this out, I just realized that I showed you the back of my waistband of my underpants. And I didn't realize until now that I very well might have just flashed you my butt crack.
No.
Okay.
No, you pulled them up high enough.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, you pulled them up high enough.
All right, cool. I was about to apologize for just, like, assaulting you with my butt crack.
Thanks, man. Thanks for apologizing. Cool. So,
now that
we've gotten through undie hour, if you see a body in a coffin, they are typically wearing underwear, which, I don't know, is comforting. It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Shoes, however, can be a little more rare. Since a lot of coffins are, like, I don't know, like, split top? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, top and bottom?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, like the Western doors, but sideways?
Saloon door coffin. Saloon door coffin, please.
It's tough to get shoes on a rigor mortis foot, and a lot of people will never see it.
Yeah.
So a lot of corpses will just forego the shoes. I don't know. I'm only going to do shoes.
Only just, shoes.
Yeah, but I want the bottom closed. So, like, chest up, but I am wearing shoes.
But that... Okay, so you got a jacket and a shirt?
No. No, just bare chest.
Oh.
Because I got, like, tattoos. I want people to see my tattoos. My chest tattoos.
Dude, you, before did, I go you under. Do have some great tattoos.
Yeah.
So you're going to dress up like a sporting event streaker.
Yeah. That is, like, the only environment in which you would be wearing, like...
Nothing but sneakers. Yeah.
You want to be doing that. So funeral dress is getting a lot more casual as we go on. More and more funeral homes, especially in England and the UK, are encouraging family members to simply provide everyday clothes for the deceased. Not a big fancy suit, but just what they would wear normally. There's a big funeral home service from the UK known as Dignity Funeral Services. Here's some advice that they have on their website.
Funeral dress often mirrored general trends in wider society. Whereas today's pensioners are chiefly from a Sunday best era, the boomers a few years below them hold no such views. We tend to tell people to dress the deceased in whatever they were comfortable in when they were alive. A lot more men now are dressed in jeans and football shirts. This is English, right? They mean soccer jerseys. Okay, yeah. Even if the family isn't going to view the deceased, we always try to dress them in some of their own clothes. It gives them their personhood back.
I like that a lot.
I do too, yeah.
You know? It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just depersonalizing a body, you know? Because it retains its identity, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's neat. So in line with that, I read actually a really cool article from Vestoy.com. by Philippa Snow, about how celebrities are dressed at their funerals, that kind of brings this point home. Here, she specifically talks about the case of Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn never arrived at anything on time, except for her death, at which she arrived early. When she really became the late Marilyn, Monroe did not wear a skin-tight gown or an ermine coat, but a bright green dress by Emilio Pucci. They put her into a green dress by Pucci because simply it was her favorite. Her housekeeper chose it, and then her half-sister approved it. The sleeves are long, the waist is tied by a rope, and the color is something like peppermint, and it has not aged so that it might as easily be worn by somebody now. It both did and did not matter what they buried Marilyn in, because nothing could fill its potential unless she were filling it. Clothes did not make the woman. She made the clothes, which was obvious when she was moving around in them or when she was photographed in them, and would not be quite so obvious once she had died. We could not behave with any convincing surprise when it became another kind of body altogether, but we could know from her dress that she stayed the same Marilyn, even in death.
Yeah, it's a really remarkable piece of writing, and I was looking at Vestoy, and it's like a website specifically for critical writing about fashion, which I feel like which is way too dumb to understand, you know? Like, it all went over my head.
Well, you and I are definitely, we geek out over a lot of things, but I think it's fair to say that fashion is not necessarily one of those.
Not our forte.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's neat reading about how this stuff actually affects, you know, real life and how this has tangible elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big Monroe head. I don't know a lot about Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
I think that's what our fans are called, right? Monroe heads.
Monroe heads.
Monroe heads.
Maybe.
But I do like Bowie a lot. There was a cool section in the same article where Snow talked about how, like, it was never publicized what Bowie was buried in when he died. But a lot of folks don't need to know because Bowie never had, like, a singular image, you know?
Yeah.
So when you think about Marilyn Monroe, you think about someone who's like a fashion icon and this like otherworldly beauty or something like that. But with Bowie, there's no like look you can pin down.
Right.
You know?
For sure.
And like, you know, it made me think of that GIF where like Bowie's head is rotating around and there's all the different personas that he had and like looks he did.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way to pick a single one of those and be like, this is how Bowie should be remembered in death or something like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine like having to shove? I don't want to say shove. That feels rude. Can you imagine having to get David Bowie's body into one of those like Ziggy Stardust body suits too?
Mm.
Be a mess, like full body spandex.
I think he probably did not have the same figure as he did when he was at the height of the Ziggy Stardust.
It's because he stopped eating only chili pepper and cocaine.
Yeah.
Milk or whatever he was doing.
Milk and peppers.
Yeah. Ugh, so much cocaine. But, you know, luckily, this is a conversation we might not have to be having for much longer, because we're probably going to stop shoving people in fancy suits when we bury them pretty soon. You know how the green burial trend is starting to catch on in the United States?
Yeah.
I think we're getting there. Mm-hmm. So in a green burial, you know, you usually take someone out to a field, like a designated field, and just bury them in the ground. Maybe you wrap them in a sheet or something like that. You don't want to just put them in like a suit or jeans, though. You don't want that stuff decomposing.
Hmm.
Okay. It just feels weird, you know, to like if I died and was in a suit to like bury me in the dirt. I feel weird about that.
But oh, just because it's weirdly formal for something that's very
informal. For something that's supposed to be informal, you know.
Okay, that's just interesting that there would be an association with green burials. Just by nature, they're not fancy. They're not formal. I guess I didn't really think about that.
Yeah. So what's happening is more and more people kind of encounter this and have to deal with it, is people are borrowing more trends from Japanese customs. So have you ever seen a Japanese encoffinment ritual?
No.
It's really beautiful. And like a lot of rituals that are taken very seriously in Japan, there are like active competitions because they value this craft really highly.
Huh.
Which is neat. So let's watch a quick video of one here.
I practiced every day to prepare for this competition. I took videos and made improvements by asking myself, does this look beautiful? Or am I treating the deceased kindly? I am really happy my efforts were rewarded today.
Demand for undertakers has increased with Japan's aging society. More and more young people are taking on the task of dressing and sending off dead bodies, but their skills still vary widely. About 2,000 undertakers specialize in this part of the ritual, and organizers of the competition hope this will spur them on to improve their skills.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's just like so much respect for mm-hmm. the dead, which is something that oddly I think is kind of lost on us, despite us having a lot of very set in stone kind of traditions with dressing up a body. I don't know, there's something about, maybe it's just because it's fresh, but you said a competition to dress dead bodies?
Yeah.
I was thinking something way more, like, heinous and profane.
Yeah.
Just them dressing up
it's like a Christopher dead people Guest like dolls. Thing.
Yeah. But it was quite the opposite. It's so cool that it was part of their belief system, too, that in order to send these people off, this was a tradition to send them off with honor.
Yeah, and the whole thing is not to make people look, you know, like alien or really stuffy like how we in the West normally think of bodies at funerals.
Right.
It's in the very kind of relaxed, flowing, traditional, like, linen clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of space in there. A lot of that is lace or cotton, so it decomposes a little better. It's really neat.
Yeah.
So, inspired by Japanese burial techniques and the idea of wrapping a body to be buried as opposed to placing it in like a large wood and metal box that's going to be in the ground forever, designers like Pia Interlandi are creating outfits, for lack of a better term. I don't really know what to call these, but it's interesting. Burial clothing to bring that idea to the rest of the world. So Interlandi is a fashion designer whose work often incorporates death as a scientific and psychological concept. So she's done like a lot of fashion design work, but the cool thing is, as I was going through her website, it's all death focused.
Hmm.
So she did a thing where she was dressing up like dead pigs on a body farm to see how different types of clothing affected decomposition rates.
Huh.
So like if you died in like a wetsuit, would you decompose at a different rate than if you died in like a cotton t-shirt?
This is on a body farm.
Yeah.
So she's doing research. This isn't purely the aesthetic side of fashion.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Wow, cool.
So she does a lot of the kind of more artsy fashion design too. Like she has a thing on like decomposing clothes that like you wear them and they fall apart as you're wearing them, as kind of a rumination on how we're all kind of falling apart, you know? It's like the more art fashion.
Yeah, that's a cool concept though.
Yeah, it's very neat. But she's doing a lot of this death-based work, and then she had to bury her grandfather.
Hmm.
So she was doing the fashion design stuff, and then her grandfather died, and she realized that the way that he was being dressed was not functional. You know, it didn't really help the funeral director, it doesn't really give the family a lot of ease. So she's designing some new functional death clothes that allow the body to decay in a better way. She explains the logic here.
After death, the body becomes stiffer in the joints and unexpectedly heavy. Because of this, dressing a dead body basically requires a new way of dressing someone, where you turn their garments upside down. Dress a corpse in nylon tights or stockings, and they will constrict around the waist and act as pressure tights around the legs. The result is that when deterioration sets in, the bacteria can't easily get down the legs or around the torso, resulting in the legs mummifying while the upper body rots normally.
Yeah, so she's like in the mix. Yeah. She knows how this stuff works.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a very cool kind of research-based conclusion that she found out on the body farm stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's good to know too. That might be kind of concerning if you wanted to preserve a body and you saw, oh, only half of it made it, you know?
It puts a fun twist on zombie movies when you realize that, like, if zombies were actually coming back, there would mostly just be a lot of, like, legs running around, like zombie butts.
That's a very cute Edgar Wright movie that needs to be made.
Just, like, a bunch of legs running around everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool that this isn't just, like, an aesthetic choice. It's also functional.
Right.
Because she uses entirely all-natural fabrics and makes, like, a one-size-fits-all grave snuggie, I guess. Yeah. Here's a photo. It's really neat. So the body is laid on kind of like a big cotton mesh tarp. I don't know. It feels really rough to describe it like that. But then you lay, like, one of those x-ray aprons over the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of fold the body in with everything on the sides. Like you reach that kind of hood thing over the top and then roll it up on the sides as well. So it's really interesting. And it definitely reduces the insane amount of waste that comes with funerals a lot of the time.
Right.
And from what I can tell, she's designed this to be really simple. I know it looks kind of crazy, but she's designed it to be really simple because she intends for the outfit to be put on by a family member, thus helping the process of grief and separation, you know, so you know that your family member is comfortable because you've allowed them to be, like, wrapped to whatever desired tightness you want, you know, like, whatever they liked. It's one of the very, like, touching your dead relative kind of allows you to say goodbye ideas, you know?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. To close this out for tonight, here's her artist statement on the whole project, which, I guess when she starts actually making them, it'll only be like $80, which also seems really nice, you know?
Yeah.
But here's her statement on it.
Death will always be met with sadness, but the function of this garment, and indeed the intent inherent in the fashioning of garments for the grave, aims to gently guide the bereaved through what is one of the most profound and difficult encounters facing us all. The burial garment is the last skin that will be placed upon us, and will literally and symbolically merge with us in our decomposition and dissipation into the earth.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Like, she really, it's very clear she knows what she's talking about here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recommend checking out her website enough. I guess we'll probably link to it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a very cool thing if you know about fashion or death to kind of see those two worlds intersect in a neat way like this, you know, and have, like, her intentionally design something that's supposed to not leave a bunch of chemicals in the ground or leave you with, like, a dead body with a pair of jeans on.
Right. You know? Yeah, I just think about, you know, funerals that I've been to of my relatives, and I don't feel like there was any part of them that was, like, disturbing in the way that they were addressed or presented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel, like, personally, like, oh, that was bad and that shouldn't have happened, but I just, it is kind of an absurd process, just that yeah. We do pump people full of chemicals to preserve them even though they're gone, and then we put expensive clothes on them, and it's this uncomfortable, awkward process for not just the grieving family and friends, but also the, you know, the workers who are trying to make this, like,
yeah
you know, as painless an event as they possibly can. It's really cool to see someone take what she is good at and has studied and trained in and use this as, like, I don't know, just some way to make that whole process a little bit less of a burden and a little bit more intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so many cool dimensions to this that I am really curious about Pia's work, and
yeah,
I'm probably going to dork out and, you know, check out her website after this.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely link that in the description on this podcast, so make sure you check that out.
And just kind of a quick one-off before we leave you. I did read a couple stories too, because you mentioned, like, people seeing a body and having to, like, bury nice clothes, you know?
Yeah.
There was a really good account of, not good, I don't know, good isn't, it's very funny, but, like, to get back at, like, a sister that someone was feuding with, it was an account by a funeral director who had been working with this woman's daughter to prepare her body, and the daughter had given the director, like, this really expensive piece of jewelry as, like, this was my mother's favorite ring and she, like, would love to be buried with it. I'm fine with seeing it down there. Like, it doesn't need to come back. Bury it with her, you know?
Yeah.
And then the daughter who had prepared the body, her sister showed up and was like, where's the ring that mom promised to give me? And it was this, like, huge fight because the body was already buried and, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it got, like, really petty because, I mean, once it's on a body and in a coffin, it's gone, you right. know, unless you want to pay to exhume something like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So it has to be a pretty intentional act to throw something in there.
Yeah.
And it's nicer that it's this very, like, eco-intentionality as opposed to petty
right.
get-at-you intentionality, you know?
Yeah. None of that bullshit.
Boo.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I feel like we're a little bit more fashionable ourselves, just, you know, with our newfound knowledge of fashion. We're a fashion podcast now.
I feel like I look a little better.
We both do. Over the course of sitting here and talking, we look better. No, but seriously, thank you for putting this together. Really, really interesting stuff. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We love hearing from y'all. If you want to talk to us, you can talk to us. We're
cool.
Yeah, we're not intimidating. We're weird, but not in a creepy way. You can talk to us via social media at PreDeadBoys on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us predeadboys@gmail.com. You can also search PreDeadBoys Podcast on Facebook. We got a pretty rad little group there of people sharing good death-related stories and also pictures of their great dogs, including some dogs retrieving dead animals.
Yeah.
That's been bringing me a lot of joy.
My mom texted me today and said that she had, like, my aunt or someone join it.
I'm not sure. We've got a few new people in there. Some people are just lurking in there. I think they're just reading and they're too nervous to share or say anything yet.
My mom texted me and said, invited my cousin to Pre-Dead Boys if you see a Gale.
Okay. I think we added a Gale.
So, hi, mom's cousin.
Shouts out to Gail.
If you listen.
Thank you for joining our group. and thank you for listening to this podcast. One thing you can do if you want to talk to us is you can send us your questions and comments, and we'll respond right here on the podcast. For example, we got a listener question. This comes from a person named Sabrina. Whoever she is, she's probably very intelligent and funny and beautiful. I don't know her, but I'm just going to assume it's my girlfriend.
I was going to say your girlfriend's going to be pissed, dude.
But Hi, Sabrina. She did have a question for us. Max, how would you dispose of a body? Method and place of disposal.
Me?
Yeah, if you had to dispose of a body. You know, not because you did anything wrong, but just if you had to get rid of one. Just because you had one, an excessive one, just kind of sitting around.
Woods? I feel like if I learned anything from the How to Fake Your Death episode, it's just like throw it in the woods and like wait for some animals to get it.
Yeah, it seems like actually a pretty quick way to get rid of a body.
Especially as it's like warming up here in Ohio, the bugs are going to be out a little more.
Mosquitoes will be having a field day on it.
Coyotes.
Ooh, yep. Golden retrievers.
Dogs.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. That was what I was going to say. Now, once again, our legal department has to butt in here. Don't dispose of a dead body. If you find a dead body, call the police, call the authorities. Don't dispose of a dead body.
Yeah, why'd she put me up to this? I don't like this.
I don't know. I'm going to talk to her about this. But hey, thank you for sending us the question. We appreciate it.
Why didn't she ask you?
She sent it through the Facebook group. So it's an official submission for a question. I have to respond to our listeners. If you want to support the podcast, that would be great. The best thing you can do is just tell people about the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your cousin, Gail, to give it a listen.
Tell your mom's cousin.
Spread the word. We want thousands of people listening to the Pre-Dead Boys in 2019. And then millions in 2020.
Just like millions. Like a logarithmic increase?
Yes. What does that mean?
I'm not sure I used it correctly. I meant to say exponential, but I've been doing a lot of logarithms lately, so... I don't think that works.
We want a calculus amount of listeners this year. So tell your friends. I don't know math. I really don't.
I love math, dude. I love math so much.
Man, you love research and you love math. And I hate both of those things. And I'm glad that you do both.
I hate
art. Do you?
No, I like art.
Yeah, art's great. Nobody hates art. Anyway, if you want to help us out financially, we would appreciate it. We got fees to pay off for hosting this dang thing. And also, we want to improve sound quality. And we got some ideas of how we could spend some money in fun ways for y'all. If you'd be willing to tip us $3 or more, you can go to ko-fi.com/predeadboys. Want to give a shout out to the anonymous listener who gave us $15. Thank you so much, whoever you are. And also our dude Anaconda Vice, Drew, gave us another $3.
Hello, Drew.
He left a comment for us. You want to know what the comment was? It just says...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It just says, rot.
Drew's a good dude. I like Drew a lot. Yeah, I don't know Drew, but I like Drew a lot.
He really is. Yeah, thank you both so much. Really appreciate it. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher, and we will read it on... our show here. We need reviews. I'm starting to see a couple of our iTunes reviews like disappear. What? I'm like, what the they fuck is happening? Yeah. So I don't know if some of you guys were bots that were leaving reviews, but no bots. We want real live people. Real living, not dead people to give us reviews so we can push our podcast higher up in the rankings on Apple's
bump it up.
Shit. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Go give them a listen. They're at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And thank you again for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you. Closing statements.
You gotta say the last thing.
I know. I'm just thinking, like, do we have anything? Any goofs?
Hmm.
Do we have any goofs? Do we have any goodbye goofs? You have to think of a goof right now.
I gotta do some laundry.
Is that a goof or is
that... I gotta do some laundry so that when I die, I can bury my body in good undies. Underwear.
Undies.
Undies. Sundries.
We're both falling apart. We need to leave.
Good to the Lord.
Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're gonna rot.
Undries.
Stuck the landing.
Nailed it. This trash can that's behind me is 20 gallons. And I'm thinking about getting into aquariums.
Yeah.
And I recently got an offer to just take a 25-gallon aquarium, like, for free with all this stuff.
Wow.
And I was like, that's not that big. That'll be cool. That'll be a nice starter one.
Yeah.
And then I got home and looked at this, and I was like, oh, that's 20 gallons. Oh, fuck.
Wait, 35-gallon?
25-gallon.
Oh, 25-gallon. I mean, that's pretty big, but... Oh, jeez. That's pretty big, but... How many fish are you thinking of getting?
I don't know. Depends on what fish I get.
Are you going to get 10 little fish or one real big fish?
Look at this fish. It's called the Black Ghost Knife. This fish.
Whoa. That is cool looking.
Beautiful fish.
He kind of looks... It's got a head like an eel.
Yeah, they can give off electric charges.
What?
Yep. It's weak. It's not, like, a good charge. It won't, like, hurt you.
It's just, like, the prank hand buzzer.
Prank buzzer. But Black Ghost Knife is, like, the coolest name for anything ever.
That sounds like an album title.
Like a Watain album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fashion.